Very good morning, David Abramson, psychologist in private practice. David.
Good morning, Howard.
Yeah.
I think there's a thesis in there.
Yes. Nobody who nearly marries Dolly Parton could be anti-Semitic.
And have you seen the plastic surgery he's had?
Yeah. He certainly looks younger than I do.
I think he looks younger than most 21-year-olds.
He has gone a little bit overboard on that cosmetic surgery, but all right.
For a rugged country guy, he doesn't look so rugged anymore.
Right, yeah, but you know, because riding those horses can be hell on your skin.
Well, not anymore.
Right, exactly. That's, now nearly said Roger Waters, move and look what you've done to me. That was Kenny Rogers. Absolutely amazing, very country-ish. But very, very good indeed. No, let's not mix up our Kenny Rogerses with our Roger Waterses, because they are completely different. It is 8 minutes, 11 minutes past the hour of 8. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Brenda says, Nussbaum's hot brisket on rye with pickles.
That's
her sandwich of choice. David, you're looking at me very, very peculiarly. I don't know if you heard earlier, we were talking about a recent study that came out in Israel that showed they did an analysis of over 5,000 children, but they gave them a sandwich a day. And what they found was classroom disruptions lowered by something like 22%. Kids that were on Ritalin could reduce the amount of medication they were taking. Smoking reduced, bullying reduced, basically because people are hungry. People are hungry, and so there we go. Ruth Kay says, just what about giving everybody chicken soup? Look, I definitely think it's a solution to many of them. Can you imagine if you weren't allowed to go into a war-type meeting without a nice full tummy? Because that's the problem, is we have meetings and then we go and eat. What about eating first?
I couldn't think of anything better. Like a canadel, you know, a soup and canadel.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't feel better after a soup and canadel?
There we go.
I mean, from a psychological point of view, I wouldn't be very busy if we lived in Cape Town and we could see the mountain. And everyone ate soup and canadel.
Okay, but that's the problem, is no one in Cape Town eats
soup and canadel.
They don't eat.
Oh, they don't
Cape
eat.
Cape Town. They're thin people down there.
Are they?
I think so.
I remember. That's why you always feel, you always try and exercise more before you go down there.
Correct. And I always worry that I'm not going to be allowed in because I've got these people at the airport saying,
The scale's not for the suitcase.
Right, exactly. Exactly, which is probably why we should be talking about eating disorders. You didn't want to take on the subject because it's a massive one and you can't do it in a single bite, can you?
Sure, Howard. You know, when I just speak. excuse the pun. Mm. No, absolutely. When we discussed this yesterday, I was hesitant because this is a serious issue, and it's a very big issue.
Is it becoming a bigger issue? Or are the numbers remaining the same?
I think it is becoming a bigger issue. The numbers are saying that it is, and we can speculate why. And, you know, the obvious villain becomes the...
Carbs.
Well, no, there's actually an eating disorder now around carbs where you actually I don't think it's official yet, but where you actually exclude certain groups of food. Obviously, when it becomes an obsession, it starts to affect your life in such a profound way. But it is, and I think especially we see eating disorders starting predominantly in adolescence, and that's still the case. And we see now social media exacerbating that quite profoundly because, you know, it's so disturbing to think that you can go online, you can go onto a social media site, and there are anorexic coaches who will... It happens. There are people who go online, young people go online looking for information about eating, and obviously there's a sense that they have an eating issue. And people, quite bizarrely, hook onto this and connect with people and coach them to eat in a anorexic or a bulimic type of way, for want of a better description. So it's very, very disturbing to hear that. And you can go into, you can find websites or you can go onto things like Instagram where there are pictures which encourage anorexia, encourage binge eating. So I think again, you know, the access to too much information, can be, in this case, very, very damaging to people who are susceptible to
it. So in other words, they go out looking for it, and today it's much easier to get information about, in ways to channel it and ways to master non-eating.
Yeah, people manipulate people who are vulnerable, and it sounds terrible, and it is terrible, and it's really a problem. Sometimes, I don't know if you read in the paper, you realize you read in the paper that they find young people have taken their lives, and often it is, well, not often, but in certain circumstances, it is that they've connected with someone who has, in a way manipulated them, encouraged them to head in a direction of negativity, of harm, rather than health.
Right. Time is 8:16. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM. We are talking about eating disorders. Let me know any questions that you want us to raise on 34519 or 0618951019. It is a very, very serious conversation and a very perplexing one, because, David, we live in such an ambivalent society where a child of ours might be overweight, and you've carried on your whole life, don't eat that, and don't eat this, and don't eat that, and don't eat that. And then all of a sudden, they start mastering what not to eat, and we praise them. And we tell them they're doing fantastically, and oh my word, and you're looking beautiful, you're looking amazing, and you're looking thin, and you're looking great. And then all of a sudden, before we know it, it's gone too far. Does our behavior contribute to it, or is this an inherent, deeply emotional, psychological issue that no matter what we do is always going to be a problem?
I think it's not an easy answer, but I think, what is being seen is that genetically there seems to be a strong predisposition. They've done studies on twins where twins have been brought up in different homes. And if one twin has it, anorexia, there's a 50% chance of the other twin having it. So,
okay, look, anorexia's never run in my family.
Excuse the pun again,
Howard. Right. Yeah, look, no one ever runs in my family, but that's something completely different.
You used to be a serious runner, though.
I still am. I'm just tapering.
Okay, you're tapering.
Anyway, so anorexia, eating disorders, and I've just used the word anorexia, but actually I shouldn't, because they're different types of disorders.
They are, and we can go into that. But I think it's potentially they feel genetic, and also if you have a certain, which leads from the genetic predisposition is certain personality types, and if you tend to be more neurotic, more perfectionist, or be more impulsive in nature, then you do tend to be more susceptible to an eating disorder. And then also we look at culture, this idealization of a certain body type, which is more, we can call it the westernized kind of ideal.
Well, that's what I was interested in. Zanati, from within the Khoisa community or the black community, is eating disorders, is it becoming more of a thing? Anorexia, bulimia, these types of things? Because the black community hasn't generally culturally glorified that emaciated, thin look like Western cultures have.
There are so many things in the black community that a lot of us think, like they look like they are stuff that comes from privilege. So, for example, there's no one who's gluten-free. Who's allergic to gluten.
Oh, my word, that is the funniest thing ever. Yeah, exactly.
Lactose intolerant.
Pull yourself together,
Honestly, it seems like to us, and the thing is, it might be just a wrong approach to it, because there might be people that have suffered from those things. I mean, even stuff like depression. There are stuff that's been happening, but people have just never taken it seriously. And it's only now that they're taking it seriously. But a lot of people in the township really think that a lot of stuff, it just comes from a place of privilege, that just because now.
So that's such an interesting question. Do we see a greater amount of eating disorders and anorexia in coming from a place of privilege? And I guess the question to ask, David, from a Jewish perspective, is back in Eastern Europe where people were on the whole much, much poorer life was difficult, food wasn't easily accessible, you know, do you think there that there was the same level of this type of issue? Can't be.
Well, you know, let me, there's probably the
such an interesting point you raise.
It is, isn't it? And I think for me, studies have been done, and one of the doyens of anorexia in South Africa, who is just known as, you know, Professor Chris Szabo, did some research in the early 90s around anorexia eating disorders in less privileged communities. And even then, it was starting to become more and more prevalent. Interestingly enough, he found that in his study. And what he concluded was that, you know, if I understood correctly, was that there was more exposure to Western style ideals.
Mm.
Even though
if it certainly becomes aspirational, then yes, that's a problem.
Yeah, certainly. You know, like, you know, if you can't be Beyonce, be yourself. I know that, that's, you know, yeah. there are amazing, you know, people of color who we can all look up to now. And I think we can relate to, who don't have the traditional,
figure.
Yeah.
But that's my point, is there doesn't seem to be the same ideation of that emaciated look.
Yes.
As there is in a lot of Western culture.
It certainly is less. There's, you know, that's what the studies are saying. Mm. It's certainly less, but it is prevalent. It's still there.
So would you say it's a combination of cultural norm plus what Zanati is saying, which is actually lack of privilege and the fact that no one's got time for this.
Absolutely.
Basically.
No, clearly in Eastern Europe.
And the luxury of it.
Yeah, clearly in Eastern Europe, you're worrying about eating. And surviving. So clearly that's not going to, it is in a way, you know, a situation where, you know, you have a choice to purge, to get rid of your food or to restrict yourself. So clearly, you know, there would be availability to some degree to food in order to have this. And so, yeah, absolutely.
34519 or 0618951019. We are talking about eating disorders. Have you come across a person? Are you worried about somebody who is at risk? When we come back, I'm going to ask David how we identify somebody who might be at risk, and how do we address it without perhaps forcing the issue, or without it becoming a major issue before we even know it. We were also talking about sandwiches, and so, I mean, that is so typical of our approach. Here. Unsigned says the ultimate is pizza with mustard.
Oh.
What?
Pizza with mustard. Are you actually being serious? I've never even thought of pizza, putting mustard on pizza.
No.
I know there's a raging debate about pineapple. That's fine.
No, the debate's over. Pineapple's in.
Perfect. I mean, pineapple on pizza, it's delicious.
Avocado on pizza.
Yeah,
it gets a bit mushy. Salt, also a little bit of coarse salt on pizza, by the way.
All
also
good.
Delicious.
Mustard.
But mustard, I've not heard of. 8:23, I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. Let's take a look at what's happening. Time has just gone, 8 or about to go, 8:30. Apparently, they didn't mean pizza, they meant pacha. But pacha's not a sandwich, David.
No.
And no one eats pacha. Nobody.
Well, no one who doesn't want to have a heart attack.
Yes.
But it is very tasty.
Have you tasted pacha?
Funny enough, this...
No, I'm sorry. I can't.
This past Shabbos, I was at some relatives, and relatives of theirs, they're very famous for their pacha.
No one's famous for their pacha.
What is
nobody.
That, guys? What are you talking about?
No, stop it, Zanati. Don't even ask.
No, tell Zanati, because... And the people who... obviously, I didn't have the pacha for medical reasons, but and maybe for taste reasons, but the people who had it... We're loving it.
Oh, I can actually throw up right now, and I don't even have bulimia. Zanati, it's I don't know, it's boiled lamb, calf, jelly. You eat it, it looks like
jelly.
A jelly. It's like a jelly. It's lamb. No, it's calf,
I think.
Jelly.
Yeah, well.
Nothing to do with lamb. I don't want to say lamb. It's not lamb.
And they boil the,
You boil it, and then you.
It develops a jelly somehow.
Yeah, somehow it becomes a jelly.
Oh my gosh.
So yes, imagine a lovely jelly, but this is made out of.
Of meat.
Of beef, of car. I don't know. I don't know why. Why would you even? And that's not a sandwich.
No.
We were talking about sandwiches. That's why the pizza thing. And you apparently spell pacha. P PTZAH. I mean, so excuse me for thinking that it was.
What about a pachar sandwich? Are we going? Are we just heading downhill?
No, stop it.
Okay,
stop it.
Say stupid, Howard.
Stupid. Why?
Because you say it so well. Stupid.
I say it like I mean it.
In your headlines, IDF shoots down rocket from Gaza. The IAF also hit Hamas underground facilities in the Gaza Strip. Government offices closed in Hong Kong. This is after violent clashes erupted over a new extradition bill. Woodstock Orphanage accused of abuse. 17 children have been removed from the Al Noor Child and Youth Care Center. And Shelter Dog finally gets home after 10 years. Wendy Dent and Shal Nordia are the angels on earth that have taken him in. Catch the full bulletin at 9.
Thanks, Zanati. We're talking to David Abramson. We are speaking about eating disorders and the prevalence of it. Unsigned says as follows. Very interesting. Excuse me. My mother's side of the family is huge, and my dad's side is tall and thin. We are three children, and only one was thin. One out of our children, there are two. Have what I call Grove body types from my mom's side. They are all emotional eaters. My son is one Grove body type. Actually, I sat him down to explain emotional eating. My question is, was it right to explain this to him? Mm. He is only 12. I'm not so concerned about society, but more about the health end of what overweight can cause. This I explained is why that type of body type suffers from diabetes, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important to look at food in a healthy way. And I think it's important to sit our children down and talk about healthy eating, and healthy lifestyles. We talk about don't think of a pink elephant, and we're concerned that if we mention something, certainly like anxiety, when people do come for help with anxiety, it does escalate because you're talking about it more and bringing it more into the consciousness. But if we're talking about eating healthy, I think it's so important that that we do educate our children about healthy eating. And I know I got on and on about this, but if we lecturing our children on healthy eating, we've got to be eating similarly. And I think it's all in moderation. We don't, in my opinion, don't want to keep sweets and things that are more sugary locked away and they are forbidden, like the locked liquor cabinet. I think there is a time and a place for it, and we don't want it to make it this, forbidden fruit. And there are some amazing dietitians around town. I would stress, though, be very careful, in my opinion, to take a child to a dietitian.
We're talking about a 12-year-old.
Yeah,
I mean, is it helpful to explain to a 12-year-old to make them aware about of emotional eating?
Well, I think if you notice that your child is eating excessively, I don't think you need to bring it into their world, into their consciousness, if it's not an issue. But I think for me, if you do see a child who's eating excessively, especially in relation to emotion, when they're sad or anxious, or absolutely to bring, to make them aware. And then I think a useful question to ask them is, what are you hungry for? Are you hungry for food, or are you hungry for activity? Are you hungry for stimulation? As in, is there something else that you want to do? So, it's not always.
So it's not good. It's not good to put up a sign above the fridge that says, face your stuff, don't stuff your face.
No. Did you just make that up now?
No, I put up a sign over a fridge. No.
That would have been impressive.
Right.
No, absolutely. We can talk about healthy eating, and we talk about, and everything in moderation. I always, this idea, I've seen kids at parties, like just going bananas, eating, just stuffing their faces with, and why? Because they're not allowed sweets at home, and so when they find that opportunity,
all hell breaks loose,
and that's unhealthy. So we really want to have
So let's talk about unsigned. The 12-year-old. There's definitely on the one side of the family is a genetic predisposition to obesity, diabetes, etc. They notice their 12-year-old son is an emotional eater. He is gaining weight. He does have that body type. What does one do?
Again, as I said, I think it's very important if they are seeing that he's gaining weight and he's eating emotionally, to sit him down and absolutely have a discussion about healthy eating and about, and focus more on the health part of it. Rather than
which
else.
Is what Ansan said,
which I think is spot on.
That's what they did because there are problems.
And as I say, I think be very careful. I think if adults, parents go and get advice from dietitians about, you know, what is good for children, you know, absolutely. But I think we should be very careful to send children who are eating, or showing eating issues to a dietitian because, remember they have that, you know, personality type, which is more kind of A-type personality. Mm. And if you say to a person with an A-type personality, you should only have X amount of grams, or X amount of food.
So it almost becomes self-fulfilling in some way.
It does. And so I think, again, we don't want to give a number. You know, you don't want to give 60 grams, or especially to a person who is, as
who is predisposed. Mm-hmm. So what are the signs that we need to look for, first of all, before I even ask that question, is there an age where our kids and people around us are more vulnerable than others?
Absolutely. The majority of these eating disorders start like 12, 13 and into adolescence. So that's when it mostly starts. And it can be very subtle at first. So, it is very difficult at times to identify an eating disorder because, firstly people tend to hide their bulimic or their anorexic behavior. Often, only when certain things are very obvious that you start to notice it. But the things that you can, you look out for, obviously, is a dramatic weight loss, this preoccupation with food and dieting, and also that counting of calories. Often there's excessive exercise, often a lot of talk about food and fat and size. Mm. For young girls, they actually stop menstruating, which is common. Absolutely, losing that weight and not kind of, admitting to it and not kind of acknowledging they've lost that weight. And you can also look, often there's constipation or stomach pain. So these are the kind of things that you can look for.
I know there's been talk about an increase in the number of boys suffering from this. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think for a number of years now, for the last decade, two decades, definitely, it's becoming more and more of an issue for boys. Even though it is more prevalent amongst females, it definitely is. It certainly exists in males. So I think that's important to point out that this is not gender specific. Males do definitely also, kind of have certain predispositions. And we're also not immune to looking in magazines and seeing what we should be looking like and the ideals, just like ladies. So absolutely, it's definitely prevalent amongst males. The other thing that I wanted to say quickly, Howard, is, that bulimia, and anorexia are two different kind of disorders, both eating disorders. And I think it's important with bulimia to point out what you can look out for. There are things that overlap, like, complaining about being fat, constantly dieting. Very important with bulimia, and we haven't explained it completely, where anorexia there's two different types. It's always this obsession about food. The one is the restrictive anorexia, where you are restricting your amount of calories, but you also are getting rid of it through exercising or diuretics. And then there's another, the purging side, where you would be going to the vomiting, laxatives. So that's the distinction with binging. It's always about vomiting and bringing things up. But with binging, there tends to be you can't notice the weight loss as easily. So with anorexia, that's the distinction between the two.
Eating a huge meal and going to the running to the bathroom afterwards.
And looking for things like scarred knuckles, people putting their fingers in their mouths, looking for things like trips to the bathroom after meals, smells of vomiting, laxatives and diuretics, and also a large amount of food just going missing in the house because of those those binges, and then use of gum, mouthwash, mints to try and, you know, get that taste away, or to try clear their breath from the purging, which is often vomiting. So there are signs, and we just need to be a little bit more vigilant, and we should be able to pick them up.
David Abramson joining us in studio. We've been talking about anorexia, bulimia. We have been talking about eating disorders, how to recognize them, and just to be aware. It is 8:41.
I'm hiding behind you.
Yes, I see that. Joan says, pacha is boiled calf bones with garlic, then hard-boiled eggs added.
Yes, the eggs.
Which is then set in a fridge. It's not fattening, but
I actually Googled it. It looks nasty.
But I don't know what to do, because somebody has just messaged me to say one of my closer friends actually eats it, and I don't know. I don't know if we can go on.
The people on Friday night were loving it.
How old were they?
I'm not hesitant to mention a cousin of mine.
He's 90, right?
No, he is in his 40s, and he absolutely, he's got three young children, and he knows who I'm talking about if he's listening. Absolutely loved the pacha. Love the pacha.
Wow.
So interesting that the listener said that it's not fattening, because from the pictures that I'm seeing, people have it with salad.
Yeah, but also people have Diet Coke with burgers. So I've got a feeling it's a heart stopper. I'm not sure if it's
it
if
looks
it's so
like
healthy.
A heart stopper.
I might be wrong, but
I don't know. To me, this is very, very problematic. But Tanati, amazing. You were saying during that song, when we were talking about eating disorders, that you actually even tried a bit of an eating disorder.
So listen, I've always had issues with my weight. I was naturally very, very thin. Like, I was scrawny in high school, and then my mom was actually worried about me, and she took me to the doctor. So I think in grade 9, I weighed 39 kgs.
Wow.
And the doctor said, listen, you are underweight. You need to gain a bit of weight. So because I'm, you know, this was a type A personality, I was very ambitious. I was like, oh, he says I must gain weight. I'll gain weight. I'll show him. So I gained weight, and he said that by the end of the month, I need to be at least 40 kgs.
Right.
Go at the end of the month, I'm 41.
Right. You are an overachiever, Zanati. Yes.
So I'm like, listen, because I never really used to. Food was just a thing for me, just a thing that I need to have, not something that I really enjoyed. And then I started enjoying it, and I started eating junk food. Obviously, I'm gaining weight. Then at some point, I'm like, my clothes don't fit. I'm fat. So then eventually I decide, and we'd been learning about all the stuff in school, these eating disorders, and I was like, maybe I should try anorexia. I tried it.
Yes.
I was very hungry, and I was like, maybe this is not the one. And then the next day I was like, okay, let me just eat and then just throw it all up.
Yeah,
and I was like, let me just try bulimia. It lasted for 2 days because I wasted too much time in the bathroom, and I was like, I can't do this.
No one's got time for this.
Exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. I didn't have time for it. And I was like, well, that was that. And I guess that's when I realized that actually all these eating disorders are actually mental illnesses, because if you're not there, then you don't see the point of it.
Well, that's going to say, you know, you can't decide to have anorexia, sure.
Yes.
No, absolutely. I think for me, because it's almost like have that susceptibility. As I say, that personality type, and also an emotional, difficulty. You could be feeling very anxious or very vulnerable or have gone through some kind of trauma. You know, often there is a trigger that drives one to actually start, for want of a better word, enjoying the hunger. Actually even though it's very, very destructive. And very unhealthy, but actually, wanting that feeling, and kind of, learning that this process can be one that you can control. So it certainly is, you know, Zanati, and, you know, healthy human being. It didn't take off. You tried it, you got hungry and moved on. So again, you weren't susceptible to that from a psychological, emotional, position, which is, I think, a very good thing.
Yeah, no, it is a very good thing. I couldn't stand the hunger.
And well, if ever I've heard a really unqualified an unqualified anorexic, potential anorexic is somebody who doesn't like hunger.
Yeah, no, that's it's not something you are going to enjoy at all. But I think in all seriousness, we need to say that this is a very serious, condition that people can, do serious harm to their bodies.
And to the families, I imagine. I imagine the pressure on the family is unbelievable.
It's absolutely excruciating because to watch your child or, not eat, to watch your child, do this to themselves. Parents often blame themselves and feel very helpless. But, there are a lot of places, there are a lot of...
Right. So I was just going to say, to end off the conversation, what does somebody do if they are concerned about somebody at risk?
Well, I think the first thing is, often, if you have noticed that they're losing weight, one of two things. One is to go to your GP and make sure, just check from a health point of view, that your child, where your child is at. But then, looking for psychologists, social workers who specialize in eating issues, in eating disorders, because it is a speciality. As I say, even though he's not working as much as he used to as far as seeing clients are concerned, someone like Chris Zabo is an expert in the field and is recognized as such. He's a psychiatrist, but excellent in his field. And there are clinics like the Kiso Clinic, which run programs for eating disorders, and they have clinics all around South Africa, and you can just look them up on the net. And as I say, specialist psychologists who then work very importantly in conjunction with nutritionists. It often is a team effort to help someone overcome an eating disorder.
Right, absolutely. Quick thoughts on, I really do want to wrap up the conversation, but Yosif is saying quick thoughts on orthorexia.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, do you remember we were talking about, that fixation on one type of, or exclusion of one like carbs, for example.
Right.
But it can become, again, if you have that predisposition, it can become a huge problem. So you cut out carbs completely, and it becomes an obsession that you cannot.
So it's taking something like that. So if somebody cuts out carbs, it's not necessarily an issue.
No.
But if you cut out carbs and it's a complete fixation and
it's running your life and it's affecting the way that you function in the world. You're thinking about it all the time. You're going to meals and you're checking consistently, phoning people before or going to meals at other people's houses and really, erring on the side of caution, about eating that particular food type. And I know it's a fad these days, let's not eat carbs, but it's not.
Cause I think about carbs all the time.
See, Howard. Do you? Let's talk about it.
Well, Darby wants to know, hi, Howard, do you think that I'm anorexic? Send us a photo, Darby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep you, but just make sure your clothes are on.
Yes.
It's not that kind of a show.